to Christy and Katrina, the DK805 podcast. It's fall. It's the changing of the seasons. It's the holidays fast approaching. It's the triggers. It's the memories. And today we want to talk about how it can affect us once our loved ones pass away, how things change and how things remain the same, and how we become different people and how we choose to get through the holidays, because what we do is get through them.
Right. And then we were just talking about how it's very different for both of us and our journeys, as much as we are alike, and our son's journeys are alike, and all of the other mothers and fathers that I've spoken with just in the last, you know, just in starting what we're doing here for our mission, what we chose. And missions find you. I've found that with moms that have shared with me how they came to turn their pain into purpose for them, that it's just all the similarities, but then so different also, like how they, what they've chosen to do. And I just have found, like, hearing those stories just you know, have encouraged me to just, I'm on the right path. We know. I feel that. I feel that we have just anything we can do to just help another mom, another family, especially if you are just starting your grief journey. We're so sorry. The holidays are coming, and that we are different. We celebrate them different for different reasons, because you have a family that, so with a younger brother and older sister,
and I have grandkids.
And grandkids.
And so with my grandkids, it's the magic of the holidays. And for me, I've always enjoyed the holidays. I've always enjoyed the excitement. Yeah. But one of the things I have learned, even through Devin's addiction, as his addiction grew, as his illness grew, one of the things is he would be removed from the holidays. Mm-hmm. He would remove himself from the holidays. And so often it was always still the missing piece. Are you coming out for dinner? Where are you? Are you coming home?
Yeah.
I was always anxious if somebody gave him money for the holidays, because I'm like, where's the money going to go? And so the illness itself started to change throughout.
And just as we started this, and I was saying that everything felt very different, how we were going to be, that we didn't say what you just said right there, that was really, really true. That was really a part of, it was pain. That's why I said, I don't know that I'm ready to even share that right now, because that's the stuff. That's the hard stuff. That is the truth. It's, can he come? Cause he didn't want to be, there's the younger stepsisters. He didn't want to be not in control around them. He had that, like, understanding, and he would remove himself from, or not come, like, knowing that always was like, please come. But in the back of my mind also was always, well, how will he come if he comes? And there's just that. We would always take, you know, him the meal after, and this was in the later years of the journey. But he was, like you said, either in treatment, and which removed him from that, or he knew he couldn't be in the right headspace. And I look back now and I realize he honoring me in that way, honoring the girls and honoring the family, his grandma, my mom, who we took care of. And it was so painful, because I just so wanted him to be there every holiday, every time. But he opted out. And then also too, who's, you know, please don't give him money for Christmas. I mean, the things, you know,
it was having the empty chair syndrome.
Yeah.
With somebody who's still alive.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And you know that the empty chair was still the empty chair. And now there's the empty place.
Yeah.
And it's a different emptiness inside. And when I say the emptiness, the empty place, there's also, in my brain, I also see him celebrating with my sister up in heaven. And so now I feel the empty chair at the table full of his spirit. Yeah. And so we look for these different glimmers.
That's healing. That's healing, to visualize, the visualization of that. And just calling that in right now, because, I have to take, like, heavy breaths, like, thinking, knowing that, you know, how we prepare for these is like, we just, you know, there's so much that we're going to be going over, but this is the holidays. And when we're talking about it, just in like, well, what will we say that could help someone? And in just that, it's remembering that you can turn it into that, the better way of viewing it, where it's not, it's instead of the empty chair, it's, you know, knowing that bringing in their, how to best celebrate them.
So one of the things that I enjoy doing is having people tell me their favorite story of Devin. Like, just tell me something, because often people start to, like I told you last year, I'll repeat the story. Last year was my first year without Devin, and it was a hard year. I tend to make people uncomfortable, because I have had people tell me that they don't want to bring up that Devin died because they don't know if he'll trigger me. And I'm like, you think I forgot?
We do have to say that though, because that is on defense of that for the people that I've shared with me. It has been, just because it's like, you feel like they're not saying it, but once you hear them and understand, they don't want to hurt you.
Well, it's
and
because
so if we say speak of them, because we don't, that hurts more.
Well, sometimes it's because they're uncomfortable with grief. They're uncomfortable with pain.
Yeah.
And so seeing somebody else in pain, they remove themselves from your life because it's too painful for them. But what that can often do is leave the person who's grieving isolated and more alone.
Yeah.
And so it's been an interesting journey in my walk, because I have to accept their limitation, but that's where we have to build a different community.
That's right.
We have to reach out to those that understand the walk. And one of the most healing things for me is I have, it's unfortunate that I have friends who have lost children, but I have a childhood friend where our friendship broke apart in high school for reasons beyond beyond us, as our parents didn't get along, our siblings didn't get along. So the two of us, and we were good friends, ended up not being friends. She lost her child 10 years ago, and she was one of the first people that reached out to me when Devin passed away.
Yeah, the knowing.
And now
you
still
can be that person for someone, which you've shared that you know.
She was that person for me, and we rebuilt the friendship. Which, from what that meant to me is, and I've told her this recently, is that we were always meant to be friends.
Of course.
Throughout,
if it takes time and you come back around, but like that,
And it's the understanding, too, that I am not happy with a path that Devin chose, or it chose him. I feel like it chose him. I do feel like he was a victim to the system in many ways. And although it hurts my heart, it is in accepting that I have a relationship with my child and his whole self. He's at peace. He's whole. I still talk to Devin. I still ask for him. The other day I was feeling down. It was a hard week last week. And so I do go to court again today.
I
was awake all night last night. But when I was flying back into LA, I was watching a sunset out the window, and I was crying. I always cry when I land in LA, knowing what's coming up. And I said, just give me a sign. Give me something, Devin. I need something. And so, I might cry again. I'm super tired. I have had maybe 2 hours of sleep, 2 to 3 hours of sleep. But when I got in the car, I sat down and I looked over, and the car was all the way back, exactly it was the last time Devin was in the car with me, like it was leaned back. And so I sat in my car and I cried, and I'm like, thank you, Devin. You're here with me.
Yeah.
You're on the ride home.
Always.
And so I turned on the radio, and I have Spotify, and some of his music's on Spotify. And without my planning it, his music came on. And I'm like, oh, you gave me my sign.
Love that.
This little God makes such tender mercies.
Those glimmers.
I have a relationship with my son now.
Yes.
Where he's in his wholeness. Perfect state.
Yeah. That's as a mother to another mother, we can say that. So that, you know, because there is that talking about how other people feel they are, maybe they, as you have felt, maybe they don't handle or deal with grief in the right way, but others have shared with me, I've had that gift that they've given back, that they worry about how to say it the right way, or, you know, just what they will say that could affect me. Cause I'm the sensitive one in the family, always have been. And so I, you know, they sort of just like, and now it's coming along to where I'm trying to express myself what I need before it gets to the point where I'm feeling like, you know, that is just, I'm feeling unheard or like, can't express my needs. But, there are those that just will not be able to be, and that's where you said finding the new tribe, and that's what this community is about. That's what sharing, reaching out to those that are in the same walk, that can be there for you. Like I mentioned in my last, you know, just a message that I had posted for our podcast, just in support, reaching out for the support. So you have court today. We are going to be talking about the holidays and how we are doing them different. So with the court date today being, again, just you come in, you go to court, and nothing happens today. You say it just gets, it's going to be put off until the next time.
Most likely. So right. In my grief journey, I don't know how I feel. I almost feel like I'm compartmentalizing. Mm-hmm. Everything right. Until
you're like in a standstill, like waiting to.
I don't know where my emotions will be.
Yeah,
because Devin is still very talked about, and so I haven't had the opportunity to have the grief where I found my child.
Yeah,
he was overdosed.
Yeah,
and that I had a service for him, and. Then the processing of the grief.
These acts that, you know, you have to do. And now again, and then the holidays, things that you want to do, like you said, for your kids and for the grandkids, and how I will be doing it and have, I'm further along in the grief journey. You are just about 15 months and still this is going to be, you said, it's all just like, where are you now with everything? And I'm just,
used to be very emotional, but my emotionality comes out as anger. Mm-hmm. Like I get angry, but now I'm very logical. Mm-hmm. My brain is very logical, and I feel like I've had so many disappointments, so many heartaches, so many heartbreaks, so many letdowns that it's made me become somebody who is super compassionate, but equally somebody who doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah, and you're resilient. And I see, you know, you've given me so much strength. And I thought it was going to be when we connected that I would be, because I'm further along. That was sort of in my mind. I was, you know, worried that I wouldn't have the right help for you or the right messages and tools. And it's actually been you that has really been, you know, your resilience has been inspiring to. Oh,
thank you for saying that. I don't always feel that way.
You do. I definitely feel like I'm like, wow, it feels like it's reversed that I'm.
No, don't think that. Yeah. You've helped me so much.
So wherever we're at in grief, wherever you're at, and that's been something, I've had so many moms reach out to me and it's like, we're all in different spaces, but where you're at is right where you're supposed to be. There is no right or wrong. There's no time frame. There's no mark that you need to meet. So expectations that people may have on you, throw that all out the window, because the holidays, if you get through them with grace and give yourself grace, but that's the goal there, just to have some, you know, bring in the joy for those that still, you know, we want to have that for them. With my stepdaughters, we've decided that nature is going to be where we are going to, I don't do the tree anymore. I don't bring out, I just have found that to be for me, I never, growing up for me anyways, for our family, I think I've shared before, but, you know, that me growing up in a very small little hippie community in, where trees and decorations were just not, it just wasn't a thing. And my son had this opposite side of, so I being divorced from his father, he had, we had shared custody, and we did that really, really, I look back and I'm really grateful how we did it. It was, we were really good friends. We stayed very close. And his grandmother that lived in another state, Virginia, that, and she just had these fantasy Christmases for him, which were just such a blessing that I know, and I have wonderful pictures, and he would share with me that when he would go there, I mean, just, I am so grateful to know that he had these like fantasy Christmas trees in like five different rooms, and really, really, really a blessed way to like, you know, have it and like overdone, you know. So it was like, and we did it much more simply. We always did. My mom, and when she was alive, when we would do Christmas, was always much more simpler. Simple. I mean, we were like cranberries and popcorn on the Christmas tree, you know, just in nature and making homemade ornaments. And that's what we want to bring back again for these girls now. So we can take them off the social media. We can get them to nature. We can, and that's what we'll, I just look forward to that. I'm intrepid about like just how they'll respond to it, but I'm trusting, and I'm hoping that that will be, that they will come to love it as much as I look back on my childhood memories, that, because that's where I am getting the most peace, and the signs come so strong with my Dylan in nature.
Well, and one of the things that the holidays can do for people, and especially what sometimes when you're grieving, what people don't mention is how exhausting.
It's exhausting. Grief is. I'm tired talking. I'm tired right now talking about it.
It's so exhausting.
Yeah.
And so the media will push a false narrative. Yeah. And if you're trying to keep up with a false narrative, what you need to do the most during this holiday season is protect your heart.
That's right.
And in protecting your heart, you can give your heart to others.
And there's nothing more important than just shared time. And there's,
the time is so, so special.
How much more we know now of, like, you know, the things you look back, oh, did I say that? There was always so much love with Dylan and I, even in the angry time, even in the frustration times, I'll say that in that way, that language again was so important, how we worded things. My son was very, Dylan was very vocal with just always though, his way of, you know, just interact with me this way. And, you know, there was ways that he would, and I'd say, well, it needs to be reciprocal because it's, you know, love is a two-way street, and it was hard. And, but I did know that at the time of some of the times that were the hardest, the struggles, like the not being able to come for the holidays and me just feeling really down, putting on the smile for the family when I'm really broken inside, trying to finish a meal. You know, I have, you know, the phone ringing and it's Dylan and he's, you know, saying he's coming, and then I'm waiting and then he's not coming. And it's just, I just remember sitting there feeling in my heart, I view back of myself, and I would say at least three that I can remember that I just sat there going, I felt so empty because he wasn't there. But it was like, up until the minute it was going to be, he was coming, and then it was like he wasn't going to be
there.
Devin
would do those same things.
Yeah.
Devin would do those exact same things. My last Christmas with Devin, he wasn't home.
Mm.
Devin was in rehab.
Mm.
And so my last Christmas with Devin, he was sober, but he wasn't home.
Yeah.
So I am grateful that I honored his request.
Yeah.
Because his request was, I don't want to see anybody but you. Just come, Mom.
Yeah.
I just...
And he wasn't alone. He was there with other people that were doing their work.
Well, and the other thing, and a girl came in that Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And they told me that Devin sat with the person that Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And he told me the story, and he just checked on her. And so his last Christmas, he was giving to another person from this area.
That's who the boys were. That's who they were. I have many stories of that, that, you know, another time we can share those, but that's who they, that's where they felt they were. There's, you know, that part of them that we've shared so much about how they are. They were just so giving and loving, and they, to not to themselves, but to others. They really, you know, that I feel that, and that we've shared enough stories to know that there's so much alike in that way. I think so much in most, those that struggle with addiction, those that are going through, that's their sensitive nature. That is a big part of the sensitivity that leads to it. But
Well, and I have an opportunity with my job that I see people in their best and their worst rushing through the airports, being upset over delays, missing holidays.
Right.
And I...
forgetting what it's about, the importance of... because you can't in the moment.
Well, last year I was very aware, but I was not... I don't know what I was last year. I wasn't very stable. It's still all a blur to me, but I do remember...
A blur, that's a great way to put it, walking through the first...
Like in a fog. Like in a slow motion, watching families.
Right.
But I remember one family in particular. They were yelling at their baby because they were probably four, but he was getting off the airplane slow. And and I remember, you know, bending down, giving the child a pair of wings. And I said, he's going to fly soon enough. I said, just take this time, because take those 30 extra seconds. And I looked up at the mom and I said, if nobody told you, you're doing a great job. We don't get to hear this often enough. And she started crying. And I'm like, it's tough being a mom, but you're doing a good job. So when you see those moms, when you see people out in the holidays, just offer them a smile. Offer them a smile and offer them the grace and compassion, instead of looking at the child, wondering why they're out. Smile at them. Pick them up. Love them, because...
We never know, especially during the holidays, what someone's walking with in the blur, or, you know, just that smile means so much. I wanted to touch on, just because this is coming up, I am going to read it just so I don't get it. I'm accurate with it. But someone that we've become just close with in talking, it is the Love is Free Foundation, and that is coming up. That'll be November 2nd, and that will be down in Orange County. And the mother of Dominic, who did pass of fentanyl like our boys, he did spend some of his more struggling times. And again, I just want to use the right language for that, where he was amongst others that were struggling. This mother will be giving out food and care packages to those that are struggling, a loving word, and there'll be other resources there available. But we're going to be attending that, and that's November 2nd again, so we can be supportive of her and her journey, her mission to help raise awareness, but also just to help in this time where people feel alone. And if we can just be in that, in that. So genuine kindness emanated from Dom's soul, even during some of the darkest parts of his earthly journey. Please join us in sharing this side of his essence with those out there still struggling. And there are so many still struggling, so many mothers, so many journeys that are just starting, where you're in the grief journey, but also how long if in the addiction, and some, you know... we're just meeting so many people.
And one of those things with this upcoming mom that we're going to meet, which Katrina, what are their initials? What are her initials? Who did our boys direct us to?
It's a D and a K. It's Chrissy, and it's, and with a K, and it's Dominic. So
our boys are directing us, and we're all,
and we don't seek these things out. This is organically, like it's, those are the signs, because then we know we're on the right path. Like we've shared before, we don't write these things down. Just sharing today is, this is just a mother's heart, our mother's hearts, wanting to have you give yourself love and give yourself grace for these upcoming holidays. We don't have all the right words to say or what, but there is, because there is nothing that's, there is no perfection. Get through it the best you can. Reach out. Don't do it alone. We're here. We are getting your messages, and I just love you so much. I'm so inspired by your strength and today in court, and just knowing,
Well, and please, everybody, pray for her family as well, because they've lost a family member too. And the whole journey with addiction is hard. It's painful. And it's finding the compassion in the pain. The purpose in the pain. I can walk through life angry. But what that does, it robs my other children of the mom they deserve as well. And I'd rather heal with love and not miss out on the children that I have here. Devin wouldn't want that.
That's what I feel with Dylan.
I would be so disrespectful to Devin mm-hmm. if I forgot about his other yeah. siblings.
In fact, the signs come really far and few between when I get into a space of darkness, and that's just true when I'm really, really down. And he pushes me and pulls me out much faster than in the early days. And I feel that. That is, that's him just, come on, Mom. As soon as I get to that, I'm like, there's the hummingbird. There's in nature, there's his infinity sign. There's a D&K on a tree carved from, it's a lot.
The trucks. It's everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Share your signs, share your glimmers. Talk about those. Those are your boys. Those are your daughters. Those are your children. And,
your mothers, your brothers, your sisters.
Exactly.
It does not discriminate. So for those of you, yes. please reach out to us at the DK805 podcast. Yeah. Please join us in Chrissy Luna down in
Orange County.
Orange County.
And you can look that foundation up. That is on Instagram. It's the Love is Free Foundation. And that is, she has all the information there. You just would go to her site and then you can follow and it'll tell you where to meet.
Mm-hmm. And write down your favorite memories and give them to the moms, because keep our boys alive for us.
And if it's not this foundation that you're drawn to, find another one. There's even locally, if you're not ready to be out there yet, then there is just community support. There's if it's in your church, if it's however in nature, if it's in a support group, join a friend, call a friend. Don't be alone.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.